We're speaking to James Parker. We're 1 week into the 30th edition of the Olympic Games, London 2012. We know that you've been extremely busy over there in London, and particularly the chaplaincy, the community, the faith communities that are involved with many initiatives organised in and around the Olympics. One that really caught our attention, however, was a meeting that you held and organised in St Bonaventure's Catholic High School that was held this week, which brought together 21 nations, 700 young people, at what you've called the Joshua Camp. Can you tell us a little bit about this initiative and what it entailed?
Well, we recognise that deep within young people is passion. I mean, there's passion within all of us, but particularly within young people. And we realise that we've seen this happen in World Youth Day before, when young people from many countries come together, that really there's that sense of being a common humanity, of being one people before God. And that, in a sense, is what the actual Olympic Games is all about. It's about bringing peace and understanding and a real sense of true fraternity among nations. So the decision was made by the Catholic community here in Great Britain to run something similar to World Youth Day. So we're calling it a kind of a mini World Youth Day. And we had responses from 21 different countries across the world for young people to come. And it's not just about enjoying the games, although the games are about fun. But above all, it's also about human formation. It's recognizing that athletes go through discipline, perseverance, incredible commitment to be able to perform on the world stage. And they do that for precious metals of gold, silver, and bronze. But we recognize that we are running a race. And it's not just about winning it, one of our bishops told us, but about finishing that race. And that race is the race towards the cross for the sake of Jesus Christ.
It also tied in really perfectly with Pope Benedict the 16th. General missionary prayer intention for the month of August, which was that young people maybe announce the gospel and bring the news, good news of Christ, to the ends of the earth, didn't it?
That's correct. It's the timing of it in some ways couldn't be better. And that's the very thing that is happening. I was at the camp just a few hours ago, and what's happening is the young people are having some excellent presentations by members of the Zion Community for Evangelization here in Britain, who have been talking to them about street evangelization. But not just that, but about first and foremost the fact that it's important that we are open and receptive to the love of Jesus Christ in our own hearts. That it's not just a message that we share, but that it's Christ's heart itself that we're sharing with the people around us. So at the Joshua Camp, there are 3 or 4 days where people are really getting to know each other, and know each other really, really well. When you're in a camp situation where you're all living in some ways within the boundaries of these four walls, you get to know each other very well. Then there's going to be many opportunities for these same young people to be able to engage with people in the local area. I think what's important about this is the camp is about a couple of kilometres away from where the Olympic Park is. And there are many nations of the world that live in the shadow of the Olympic Park. But for many of these people, that they live very poor lives, they have no opportunity of getting tickets or being involved with the games in any way. So what the Joshua Camp is about going to, if you like, the poor and the needy around and saying, come and be a part of this great banquet that God's got prepared for us. You know, come and run the race with us and have some fun with us. So we're hoping that this will be really a benchmark for the way in which the Catholic community can begin to engage with global sporting events in the future as well.
Sport is very much a part of young people's lives. As young children, we were all involved in various forms of sport, be it at school, be it on our streets with our friends, kicking a ball around. And particularly in the modern era of this 21st century, sports in general, but particularly sports people, men and women, have taken on an almost iconic status for young people. So this is why perhaps the Olympics is even more important than ever, is it not? Particularly when one considers that the founding father of the Olympics, Dick Martin, his motto was, what's important is taking part. Do you think this is being reflected in London 2012?
I think that in general it's being reflected, but regrettably, and I think we've seen that earlier this week in the badminton, where a number of different competitors whose passion has been badminton, they've been disqualified for basically cheating, because their sole goal, if you like, was medals, purely medals, rather than taking part and allowing, in a sense, the fair rules of the game and of play to actually allow them to come in the position they need to come in. And so in some way, the taking part is slightly missing. And that's why it's so important that we have a strong presence within the whole area of chaplaincy at the Olympic Village. And I'm delighted to be able to report that aside from there being three masses celebrated every day, within the athletes' village itself, specifically for the athletes and the officials, clearly the highest attendance at any religious service is at daily mass. And there are a number of athletes and officials from many countries who are coming each day, and they're placing Christ there at the beginning and at the center of all they do. So this is very encouraging. I think, and we hope really and pray that the climate is changing. Otherwise, what happens is, you know, many of us, whether we have good stories or bad stories from our youth of what's happened around sport, it's important that sport is something that is constantly celebrated and seen for what it is, which is a great place for human formation, as well as a place to be able to make good friendships and a place to understand, first and foremost, the dignity of each of our bodies.
James, I know you have been running around like a maniac all week. You have so much to do, so much on your plate. However, have you had a chance to soak in the atmosphere in any way? Have you seen any of the events? Or is there anything during the week that happened that struck you most during this first week of competitions?
Well, I was very blessed, really, to have some tickets to see the women's volleyball just a few evenings ago. And I watched the USA play China. And I thought that there'd be sort of virulent competition between the two sides. And yet, there in the midst of the people attending, the Chinese were sat with the Americans, sat by the Brazilians, sat by the British. And there was a real sense of friendship and unity among people. Lots of laughter, lots of smiles, a real good feel factor, really, about it all. But aside from that, outside of the venues and the Olympic Park itself, people are talking to each other. This is one of the great gifts from the Olympics, is people, in a sense, are in a city for a particular reason. And if sport does nothing else, or the Olympic Games does nothing else, it makes people talk to each other, and it makes them share their stories. And what happens is boundaries and barriers begin to come down. And our hope, really, here in London, is that we'd continue to build on that when the Games are finished, even though we've got still another very exciting week of sport coming up, followed by the Paralympics. But hopefully, part of the legacy here for London, and therefore for the 205 nations who already live here, is that people would really grow in that sense of community, and a willingness to engage with one another and to have a respect and an honour for one another. And if that's the only legacy that the Olympic and Paralympic Games brings to London, then it was worth every penny of staging the Games.
James, it's a very different London to the London we saw on our news screens across the world a little over a year ago, when we had those horrible riots. It's a very different London, a very changed London. As you said, 205 nations live in this, one of the greatest metropolis in the world. How can you explain this about turn in such a short space of time?
I think that in many ways there's that great adage about, you know, the darkness is, when the darkness becomes its most dark, soon the light will shine. And I think that last summer's events on our streets in London, the violence, the arson, the looting, it was actually a cry from the soul of London, particularly the young people in London, saying, you know, we want more than what we've got. We want something better than this. And I have to say, there was a great tension still very much here in London in the lead up to the games itself, when people were saying they couldn't get access to tickets and many people felt excluded. And of course, London's been a building site in many areas, changes to roads, and particularly in the East End of London, where the games themselves are being held. People have felt kind of held back, or that they're living in some large construction site. However, now that the games have arrived, and now there seems to be a flood more of tickets accessible to people, is people are engaging in a very, very different way. I think there's a great life story here that particularly the gospel speaks to all of us, is that often there is time of crucifixion before a resurrection happens. The most important thing is that we recognize where the violence and the arson and the aggression lies, and that we begin to address it and to take it seriously. But we're hoping that this isn't a panacea, some form of rapid antidote to what happened last summer. There's a lot of work to be done in the midst of our communities. But what the Games has offered us, particularly to the Christian community, not just to the Catholics, but to the Christian community as a whole, is that we have to work together to be able to bring a sense of belonging, a sense of community, and the message of God's love to the people around us. Otherwise, their lives will not just feel empty, but will continue to be empty.
James, my final question. We've had 1 week. You've spoken to us not only of the great work that the chaplains are doing on the ground in the Olympic Village among the athletes. You've spoken about the daily services being attended by athletes, judges, coaches, managers. And you've also spoken to us about this amazing camp for young people, the next generation of Olympians, perhaps. Who knows?
Yes.
What have we got to look forward to with the work that the Christian communities in London are doing with the Olympics over the next week?
Well, over the next week, this is the time when we really begin to engage with something we call festivals. What happens is they say it takes a week for any host city to kind of really warm up and to wake up to what happens around the Games. The second Saturday of the Olympics is the big night. They call it Super Saturday. And it's a time when really the temperature really begins to change. And people want to come out of their homes and they want to meet together in a way that they perhaps haven't previously. Now, fortunately for us in England and across Britain, we've already had the Queen's Diamond Jubilee this year. So there's a sense of preparation work being done in people's hearts to be able to come out of their homes and to gather together for festivities. But the churches have been preparing in many ways to put on festivals, both the Catholic Church and the other different Christian communities in London. So this next week, there's going to be a lot of emphasis on gathering people together before big screens and offering opportunities for face painting, balloon sculpting, perhaps people giving testimony wherever possible about what it is that brings joy to their lives with an opportunity to talk about Christ himself. And we're hoping that this will, again, be some more glue in the midst of society here in London and in the main cities across the UK to be able to build on the efforts of community that we've already sought to engage with this year itself. So watch out for some great images of people gathering together and having a great time in London. And hopefully that'll be a benchmark that can be set for the future as well, because Britain's got quite a few global sporting events coming in the future as well. So we're looking forward to those too.
James, thank you very much. And doubtless we'll be speaking to you during the week and as the great festival that is underway over in London, it really looks absolutely amazing from over here, draws to its close, but it's still a long way off yet. But thank you very much for speaking to us.
Thank you very much indeed.